Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches.
Welcome to Baroque Bitches. Your art, history, gossip podcast. I'm Chelsea.
I'm Raquel.
And we're going to give you, well, today we're going to give you some lowbrow tea on some possibly lowbrow art today. So instead of highbrow, it's going to be a little lowbrow today, which is a good thing. Always a good thing.
I mean, I feel like it depends on who you're talking to. Because for some people, for sure, they might think this is very highbrow, but I don't know. Jury's still out.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we'll go with lowbrow. Okay.
It's pretty lowbrow today. But yeah, so I've been having a couple of weird encounters at this coffee shop that I go to in Topanga Canyon. It's one of those things when you're living in LA and you're like, this is the most LA thing I've seen in a while. It's like, oh no. So if you know what I'm talking about, Topanga Canyon is kind of, I live in the West Valley, so in order to get to like Malibu and Santa Monica and stuff, you either have to go through to the 405, right, which is my enemy, so I avoid that, or you can go through Topanga Canyon, which is a lovely little beautiful windy road through a pretty canyon. It's very like art, and the little stores in there are like artsy, yeah, hippy dippy, right, like very, very cute, organic kombucha, that kind of thing. And I go to this little cafe in there that's hella cute. It's one of the, it's definitely like, go in, they're selling like little sage packets.
Crystal.
Yeah,
lavender crystals in your coffee, maybe. It's honey, agave, save the bees, maybe. I don't know.
yeah, for sure. It's that place. It's that vibe. Succulents everywhere. It's gorgeous. It's really cute. But the people there are definitely like, oh, there's no other place in the world that would have this type of environment than this place right here. I like to watch all the interactions with the people there, sure, because it's all very like a local vibe. Right. Like all the baristas seem to know everybody. The customers seem to kind of know everybody.
Karen, she wants her double, yeah, skinny, non-fat mochaccino.
But there's some tea. There's definitely tea that, ooh, happens. I did almost witness like a fight, I think, what, that might have happened. Yeah. So I'm in there like working, but I'm also like gathering information.
Yeah. I mean, about all the demographic people. Sounds like it's primarily like old white ladies. Is that, or no? Or is it still middle-aged yogis?
Yeah, it's very much like that. It's very much like very, very diverse. Everyone from different countries, cool, but all toting the same like hobo chic style. Sure. So it's like, are you from the streets or are you like a multimillionaire? You probably are giving the vibe of multimillionaire.
Yeah, it's like how Balenciaga did that like pretty much derelict collection.
The derelict, yeah, collection. All these guys are wearing derelict collection. And they all have different kinds of fancy dogs. So it's like, okay. Yeah, only in LA would this happen. Okay, cool. And so this one guy, he comes in. He seems to just know everybody. Mm-hmm. And he's really nice. He like introduced himself to me once. And I'm just kind of like, okay, haha, fuck off. And he's very much like giving yoga vibes. But he's French. And he comes in and is, you know, he has like a group of friends that he comes in with and chats with them. And then pretty much everybody that comes in, this guy goes up to them. Of course, these people seem to know this guy. And he gives like a very, very long hug.
Oh, God.
To a lot of people, men and women, it's beautiful. It's a gorgeous Monday.
That part's cute, but like, leave the hug out.
Have a long hug, and you're like, all right, he's affectionate. Okay.
But does he like push the penis onto you kind of hug? Or is
I
it
don't
like
know. I have not hugged the man. I'm afraid that maybe next time since I've introduced myself, that I'm really hoping he doesn't hug me. Going for a hug. I really hope he doesn't.
Yeah, let's just say it's not appropriate to hug strangers unless they're like really, really wanting to. I don't know. I just like
yeah.
If you get even a hint of like this person might not want to hug me, just back off. Why are you asking for hugs from people you don't know?
It just seems like, and everyone just kind of is like, okay. And I was listening to their conversation. I'm trying to figure it out of like, who are the fuck these guys? Because they're all like different ages. Mm-hmm. There's some of them are European and some of them are like American. Sure. And just the conversation.
Sounds
is just
like our friends from college.
Yeah, of like, dude, like, only fucking hear what I hear this conversation of, yeah, so my buddy, you know, he's taking me to a farmer's market to meet girls because I'm just sick of the online thing. And all the guys are like, oh, no, you got to meet them organically. Can't do an online thing. And so he's like, yeah, I've been going to a farmer's market. And then I look over and he's like, he's already getting numbers. Like, he's so smooth with these ladies. So I just kind of go away and I go to a little coffee kiosk and I found this the loveliest older woman, and we had such an intellectual conversation, and it's just like, what? I'm just trying to like, wait, what? Like, wait, no, tell me more. Wait, what? But so this guy almost gets in a fight, right? So he gets up, and I'm noticing that there's another gentleman like at another one of the tables, like kind of next to me, and I heard him and he was like British or something. So I'm just like, oh, already weird tension there. I already sense weird tension here. And the French guy like goes past him and says something, but I don't know what he said. And then the British guy is like, hey, I don't like that. I don't like that, okay? I don't like it.
Maybe he was asking for like, a hug.
Did you just get like fully rejected from a hug or something? Like, did he want to put affection on you and you don't fucking like it?
I don't like that.
And seriously, he said this loudly. Like, the whole restaurant turns around and is like, okay. And then the French guy's like, oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm okay. I don't like that. You can't you see I'm working? Of like, what the fuck is that going on? It was just one of the most, it's just one of those like, this place has a weird fucking energy because it's like all hippy dippy and nice, but I don't know. I think some of these people are conflicted.
Well, that's the thing about Los Angeles is like, there's definitely those places that look like these forward thinking, like, oh, cool, man. But everybody's also super fucking tense because of everything you have to deal with that involves living in LA, which is like traffic, a shit ton of people trying to come up and be above everybody else that's next to you. Like, all, you know, like in any city, it's like you gotta work hard, like, you know, do all those things while also creating this like mask that you're calm, cool, and collected. So then we just have these weird productions of like fucking pent-up aggressive French yogis and then like a random British pent-up aggressive yogi. And then that tension just like boils over one day and they're all like in their Balenciaga. And then you'll suddenly randomly hear somebody be like, you know what? My Gucci underwear was $500. And you're like, wait, why are we talking about this right now?
Dude, yeah, on top of like crystals and healing and chakras.
We are in a place of like, yeah, that's supposed to be super meditative. This is a this is a coffee shop.
But we are also high anxiety.
So high anxiety about everything that's going on. Like, yeah.
It's wild. It was just today. I was just like, yep, okay. There's no other. I don't think there's any coffee shop ever that would have this kind of flavor of anxiety and angst. Like, this specific flavor only belongs here. And I'm here for it. I like the drama. I like the tea for show. But it's a little weird. It's a little weird to fit in.
Yeah, and see, like, we have this other thing. So there's this really there are very cool places opening up where I live, which the town that we live in is like maybe 30,000 people. It's like very, very small. And so, you know, there's not a lot of restaurants. There's not a lot of culture. There's not a lot of diversity. And that's my biggest struggle with being here. So we go into like, we go to the super trendy coffee shop the other day. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, wait, everybody's in here is white. And he's like, yeah. That's like everywhere we fucking go here. And yeah. I'm like, dude, wait, have I just been like, I guess I just like assumed that the hip places would be a little bit more diverse, you know, like you walk in, there's like attracting multicultures, but that's just like not here. So it's been a total change of pace. So we'll see how long we last here. Because, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is like an awesome, beautiful thing about living in LA is that you do. Well, it's cool, too, because it's like all these different cultures bring all their food for me to go by.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, do you want this Ethiopian place or that Ethiopian place?
Oh, my God. And I'm like, fuck, man. We have like one Chinese restaurant and like no Thai places. And no sushi places. I mean, it's like, and no, like, Indian food.
Not even Thai food?
I mean, there is Thai food. It's just not, it's like, you have it's to like drive half an hour away, which I do realize the irony of that is that in Los Angeles, to go, like, a mile and a half, you drive half an hour to get someplace. But it's like you're going 15 miles to go get food like that, which...
That's true.
I mean, with little kids, it's not always feasible, but... yeah, I miss it so much. I miss California. We're having one of those weeks where we just like want to go home really bad. But you know, yeah, we just miss it. So
pros and cons.
Pros and cons.
Yeah, pros and cons for everywhere. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, we can get into. Well, first I want to show you my thing that I bought at Grocery Outlet.
Oh, okay.
I got this.
Oh, my God.
It is a tin of cookies. So our artist today has even infiltrated my grocery outlet.
Damn, is that right?
My local grocery outlet. It's a tin of cookies.
Grocery outlet.
And
bargain market.
Let me show you the real beauty.
Oh, my God. It actually lights up.
It lights
Are
up.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's
and
amazing.
It sings a beautiful
You guys,
song.
It's like a snowy scene with lots of little cute-ass cottages. And little light posts and the windows light up inside the cookie box. That's amazing.
It's so cool.
I love it.
It's super cool.
It's true. Like every Thomas Kinkade painting, you just want to cuddle up inside of it. Like you do, right?
For sure.
Like you just want to snuggle in there.
This is probably one of my most conflicting researches that I've done. Research pieces that I've done. I like every line. It's like, do I hate him? Do I love him? Do I hate him? Do I, what the fuck? It's, I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Do I want to go to one of those galleries and like snuggle up and buy one of these things? No.
I mean,
like, do I hate this shit? It's garbage.
I sort of like fall somewhere in between because I remember when we were in art school, there was a visiting artist, Shenny Crucis, who took heavy inspiration from Thomas Kinkade. And it was so funny because I was like, I fucking hate that guy. That's not art.
Yeah.
You know, I was like on the very much like, I know art and this is not art.
Yeah, most art students are going to be very much against this guy for sure.
And then, but then she like started talking about this experience she had where her friend invited her over to their house and his mom found out she was an artist and she was like, oh my God, I have to show you my Thomas Kinkade painting. And she made her sit down in a chair in front of it while she talked about it and like slowly lit the painting. And
wow,
it was like a whole experience. She just talks about it like, you know, art is a commodity, which it like for him, and he like bridged that. But which is kind of great because somebody like that, like, you know, can be so excited to own some art, which is kind of great, right?
It's nice.
It's nice.
What's not to love about
that? I'm not
that?
Knocking that's joy, awesome. Right? I'm not going to knock somebody's personal joy.
Totally.
But at the same time, it's like, dude, cheap it's shot, also, Tommy.
Yeah, it's also it's very conflicting. So you guys are gonna have to decide for yourselves if this is art or not. I don't think there's an argument of is this art, but maybe is this fine art?
Is this fine art? That's fair.
Yeah. Is there any integrity behind this art? That kind of thing. So we can get into it by visualizing.
Oh, fuck yes. Okay.
Okay, let's visualize. Do you want to see my new art piece? Yeah, isn't it beautiful? I wish I could just live in that little cabin on the lake. Maybe one day. Well, at least we don't have to deal with the mosquitoes. There's nothing bad in this painting. It's just heaven. I could just walk up that little path behind the lake and leave my life forever. And it matches all my decor. I hung it here because the brown in the cottage matches my brown floral couch, and the beige in the tall grass matches my beige curtains. I just feel that it makes the room so cozy and comfortable. I'm really going for vintage cottage. You can tell, right? I wish the kids could appreciate how cozy the room is. They say my style is kitsch, whatever that means. They don't know about art. They have horrible taste. Have you heard the music they're listening to now? Grunge, I think it's called. Ugh, I pray they'll grow out of it. Anyway, I've been looking forever for a nice piece of art to go here, but I don't want to support some liberal artist weirdo. I wanted to support a respectable Christian artist. I have the calendar, the throw pillows, the tissue box holder, and now I have an original painting. Well, I don't know if it's the original painting, but he signed it, right? Look, Thomas Kincaid, right there in silver ink. And I even got a letter of authenticity. Here it says, limited edition print. Fancy, right? I feel like a real art collector. Can you guess where I got it? QVC. Yeah, I paid for it over the phone. And they sent it right to the house. So convenient. God bless America. Which brings us to our gossip topic, Thomas Kincaid. Well, isn't that nice? So, dude.
Oh my god, it feels so Bible-y. I just realized with like, oh, you can buy everything, like you in the letter of authenticity and stuff. That reminds me of like the Middle Ages with the relics and like selling things that were authentically Jesus.
Yes, this is so it is funny. Gonna be.
I'm so excited.
A very, very Christian journey. For us today. So hopefully by the end we'll be saved. Do know this guy. Even if you don't recognize the name, you know him, especially if you live in the United States. His paintings are on Christmas cards, welcome mats, mugs, puzzles. The list goes fucking on, you guys. So many little things.
You can get him on socks.
Fucking everything. You can have anything.
Probably lighters.
Probably.
I'm guessing anything. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, his paintings mostly consist of idealized rural landscapes with lovely little cottages, chapels, and even Disney's Magic Castle. So it's the most euphoric, heavenly scenes you can think of, painted with soft brushstrokes and an equally soft pastel color palette. Everything is so fucking soft and lovely and
so fucking soft,
but nice, right? So
super so, nice. Hella cottagecore.
Yes, cottagecore to the max. Oh my gosh. Fun fact, my brother Jared actually used to work at Village Gallery at the Irvine Spectrum.
Really?
In the early 2000s and sold paintings, canvas, prints. We'll get into what these things are that people are buying. So Kincaid's paintings are, admittedly, kind of beautiful. So why is his work torn apart by the art world yet loved by America? So let's find out. So
I mean, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here for it.
ASL. Who is Thomas Kincaid?
ASL. Age, sex, location. Yeah,
for those who don't know, for those who weren't in the AIM world.
Yeah, for our Gen Zers.
Yeah, that means age, sex, location. So William Thomas Kincaid III was born January 19th, 1958 in Sacramento, California.
And Capricorn.
Yeah, nation a Capricorn. So Capricorns are typically extremely hardworking, loyal, and goal-oriented, but can sometimes be very stubborn, kind of lonely, and money hungry.
Damn.
So, yes, really fitting for our little Tommy here.
Yeah.
However, Kincaid did grow up in poverty in the small Northern California town of Placerville. Super cute little town, almost little mountainy town.
Placerville's cute.
Yeah, really cute little place. So if you want to know more about Thomas Kincaid's early struggles, check out the film that he made inspired by his early life. So The Christmas Cottage was a full-blown film produced with his own production company, Sterling Media, and it released in 2008. The film is definitely a cheesy Christmas film about his own life growing up in Placerville with his mom and brother. And there was some actual sort of big names in it. Jared Padalecki from Gilmore Girls and Supernatural plays Kincaid. Marcia Gay Harden, who actually played Lee Krasner in Pollock, plays Kincaid's mom, Marianne.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's actually some like pretty recognizable character actors in this too. I did watch the whole damn movie, and it did give some information about his viewpoints on art and the art world, as well as his weird relationship with his dad. It also shows him as the town art hero and overall do-gooder, Mr. Man. Everybody loves him. Everyone thinks he's so talented. However, if you do watch this film, remember, we are dealing with 2008 sensibilities, so we got like a town slut character, etc., etc. I'm not even going to those type of movies.
Didn't age well,
basically. I'm just like, oh no.
Oh, okay. So we're doing that. Okay.
Yeah, got it. Okay, 2000s, y'all. We were so backwards.
No, we were not good.
So fucking backwards.
Yeah.
But it's weird and cute, and I totally cried. But remember, I do cry at Folgers commercials as well. Yeah, so, don't take my word for it, but it gets emotional. It's cute. So let's get into Mommy, who's Mom?
Okay.
Marianne. Now, I wasn't able to gather too much information on Mom besides she's a hardworking single mother of three.
Aww.
And Dad, he left the family when Kincaid was a kid, so fuck him. I don't know.
Yeah. There goes the second, right?
Yes.
There goes your namesake.
Exactly. Yes. Fuck him. The second. Yeah. Bye, Kiki, the second. Asshole. So fuck him. And this could be leading to some of his dark side a little bit later on in his life. Definitely has a hardcore dark side. Oh my God. So we'll get into that. So tea.
Oh God.
Yes. So we do know that Kincaid's second grade teacher noticed his artistic talents even at such a young age and predicted that he'd become a great artist.
Wow.
And in high school, his mentor was Glenn Messels, who is a Cape Cod born American abstracted landscape painter.
That plays. That makes sense.
Yes. Glenn Messels is. Yeah, you'll find his work in lots of different museums. It's pretty cool. He guided Kincaid around. He also did teach at the school that he's going to be going to soon. So early years is not that well known, besides probably using art as an escape from a broken home and money struggles. But he did attend UC Berkeley and then transferred to the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena in 1976, where he collaborated with the renowned illustrator James Gurney on their first book, The Artist's Guide to Sketching. Just a good little sketching book.
Cool.
So very cute. Yeah, James Gurney is a actually very well-renowned illustrator that draws and paints dinosaurs. So dinosaur illustrator book guy is probably going to be your Gurney guy.
Sure.
So, yeah, if you see a really beautiful looking dinosaur in like some kind of educational book, that's probably Gurney. They also worked together on an animated film called Fire and Ice, which is a dark fantasy adventure. So, like, princesses and wizards and stuff is cool. So, he's involved with some cool shit. Got it.
So, he likes fantasy and he he's like digging and he's learning from a dude that does pretty much put art in like commodities already.
Exactly. A magazine. Yeah, an illustrator. Exactly.
Right, an illustrator.
So right now he is kind of grappling with what is art during this time.
Sure.
Of course, UC Berkeley is very, very artsy fartsy arts world people. Mm-hmm. And but he's also from this little small town where most of his family and friends probably didn't understand any of that stuff.
Right.
And he's trying to figure out, you know, what do I think? I don't know. So he's exploring that right now. However, he did end up dropping out of art school to pursue his artistic journey and his Christian journey. So here we go. So in 1980, he experienced a spiritual awakening and became a born-again Christian. I don't know why. I was trying to figure out, like, why? Why? What happened? That's all it says. Saving. 1980, spiritual awakening. And he described it as a moment when he became a new creation in Christ. And this moment will influence his life and his art from this point on. So he's very, very putting it out there that he's a evangelical Christian.
God is an awesome God.
Oh, why is that? Why do I remember that? And like not.
They get you. It's culty, they man. You. They get you.
It's going to be in my head. And it's a good song. You read from heaven.
Wisdom, power, and love.
Oh, my God. Sorry, guys, if that was triggering.
Sorry, if that's triggering. It's triggering for us. We don't know what happened. We blacked out.
Oh, my gosh. So, he's Christian now. So, and Kincaid married his wife, Nanette, in 1982, and they had four daughters, Marit, Chandler, Windsor, and Everett, and they're all named after famous artists, and all with the middle name Christian. I'm like, I kind of like their names are cool. Famous artist, got it. But, oh, okay, Christian, okay. Got it.
So he's definitely into branding.
Dude, so on brand. Right? With like, okay, we're going to make them artist names. And then we're also, but make sure that they're Christian.
So everybody knows we're artists, but we're Christian.
Not those kind of artists. Not those dirty, gross hippies. Disgusting.
No. Gross.
We will get back into Kincaid's personal life because it gets super fucking messy. But now let's get into what the work looks like and why it's so loved and hated. And I just figured out that I don't actually have any like titles of his work because it's all the same stuff. Google Kincaid and that's the paint. That's a style right there.
I have a Thomas Kincaid painting. I don't have a painting. I have a Thomas Kincaid puzzle.
Oh, yeah. You probably have a puzzle, guys.
Yeah.
Go look at your puzzles. It's probably from the Thomas Kincaid Foundation.
Yeah.
And it's a cute little cottage.
It's adorable. It's metallic. It's metallic. Ooh. And like hologram. It's so cute.
That's awesome.
I want to be in the puzzle.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll talk about being in a not real world. Okay, so he is the self-proclaimed painter of lights, which is a title that he would later trademark.
Oh my God, this guy.
Yeah. He loves a good sunlight fragmented by the clouds, like shining on a cottage in the woods type vibe.
Yeah.
And he has a few signature moves. He'll typically include a pathway in his landscapes that go off into nothing, so the viewer can get lost in the painting, lost in an idyllic Eden-like scene away from truth and pain and darkness and violence and life, overall life.
Right.
Yeah, that's basically, and that's his vibe.
In a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like get away Bob from the Ross, gross stuff. But like a little, yeah, but like fairy tale.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And he's actually very much compared to Bob Ross, but it's like the everyone hates him and everyone loves Bob Ross.
Yeah.
But I think Bob Ross, I mean, because he's kitsch as well. And we'll get into like the what the meaning of kitsch is, a term applied to art and design that's perceived as naive and also perceived to be in bad taste.
Right.
And your little tchotchke things that you just love for some reason. Of this thing is ugly. And but cute, and it's I don't like know
ironically
why I need it.
Adorable.
You can
right?
be ironic about it for sure. Of just like, I know this isn't like anything important.
I know this isn't like super like classy or anything, yeah. But I love this.
I just saw it at Goodwill and I had to have it.
You know, it's a Santa on a toilet. I don't know. Yeah. I just thought it was funny and it's great. Or like gnomes yeah. or
gnomes. Yeah. Those cute little frog things. It's just
yeah.
cute.
Just
it's
like tchotchke shit. It's fine.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
And Bob Ross did make kitsch art as well, but he is loved more for his PBS show, The Joy of Painting. Right. And really just came off sweet and kind of like meditative yeah. and gave easy instructions for hobbyist oil painters. So right. I don't think he's not trying to come off as any kind of fine art, even though his work yeah. now does go for, you know, lots of money. So,
well, and he's not trying to like sell and like brand this whole big thing, even though now it's certainly that. Yeah. But I think that happened like pretty much like after he died, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like. During his lifetime, he has this multi-million dollar foundation, like, you know, and like this whole
exactly
thing, right?
Yeah, I think maybe he was just like fine with the what are those things called where you grow the hair out of the
oh the chia pet
I think yeah. he was like I'm down for a chia pet though
he had the chia pet yeah and he like he also his story it's not this isn't about him but he just like was had such a likable story.
Yeah.
And Thomas Kinkade didn't market himself as well.
He well, wasn't it's, as, like, it's down kind to of earth. The idealized himself
right.
of
okay.
the Christian artist that right. just likes, he paints light.
So now and... I'm like, I fucking hate him.
Yeah.
It didn't take me long into the episode.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get into it. And he really pushed this nostalgic pastel white picket fence style with his more than 1,000 paintings that he made in his life. So he was also very vocal about his work. There's a lot of quotes from him. Yeah, I'm like, oh, thank you. At least cool. I got something. Yeah. He was also very vocal about his work making a direct connection with his faith. One of the reasons his work is so popular with American Christians is the fact that many of his paintings will include very obvious church or cross or even Jesus Christ himself. Mm. So, yeah, there's just a lot of like, okay, this guy's Christian. Got it. And I feel like the family that would collect Kinkade is the same family that has like a gather sign in their dining room. It's
yeah,
it just
maybe.
Like acts as a remedy for real life. And I feel like that family are usually the most like dysfunctional people.
No, it's true.
Do you guys really gather in here? I feel
right.
like you shouldn't because you're all very angsty and hate each other. but no, I need gather.
There's just always instructions on the wall, like demanding that you
don't tell
something.
Me what to do. Don't tell.
Eat,
the only
pray,
ones.
Love.
The only ones that I. Okay, so side note, I used to work at Home Goods in the art area because they're like, oh, you're an artist, so you can kind of design the little art area, you merchandise and make it nice. And I'm like, yeah. And there was a whole aisle of signs. And sometimes you would have to, like, help people pick out stuff because there's ladies and they just don't know what to pick. And they ask your opinion and, you know, this was during COVID times too. So like, I remember this one lady asking me, she's like, which sign do you like better? Do you like gather or blessings better? And there are two like wooden signs with like little flowers around it. And I'm like, well, it's discouraged to gather right now. So I would say we need blessings. I would say blessings. And she's like, dude, you're so right. And I'm like, or you could get some artwork. I know it's a Home Goods artwork, but it's gonna be better than that.
Oh my god, I know. It's just the art that tells you what to do.
But Kincaid had a few artistic influences that are very obvious, one being Norman Rockwell.
Sure.
The idyllic Americana guy. And some of the same criticisms that Rockwell has, Kincaid has, but tenfold.
Right.
And I just feel like as America gets more and more fragmented socially and economically, these artists hide behind the false idea of the American dream. And the real American dream that Kincaid was doing is the pursuit of a fuck ton of money. And he knew how to get into the hearts and wallets of our fellow Americans. So poor guys. Pray for them. There was some study done that because Kincaid's work is so mass-produced, his work shows up in one in every 20 American households.
Dude, I mean, I'm one in 20. That's fucking crazy.
You got a Kincaid thing somewhere. Or maybe your mom gave it to you. It's in your mom's house, grandma's house, something.
Yeah, it was definitely, for
something,
sure.
Somehow you were acquired something Goodwill, Kincaid.
Something.
Look at your coffee coasters. Look at them. Do they have a cottage on them? So if you are an American, even though you might not recognize the name, you've seen the work, whether it be a painting, a puzzle, a jewelry box, a fucking something. And these aren't just prints of his originals too. In his galleries, they would either be sold as originals for hundreds or thousands of dollars, or as a special edition canvas print with little touches of paint on them to give them a look of an original oil painting.
Right.
Which would sell for a little bit less than an original oil painting. And of course, he just sold prints too for cheaper.
Right.
So the hand-painted embellishments on his canvas prints is what really gave his audience a chance to feel like they own an original oil painting without having to pay the price.
Right.
And I feel like this guy really did like pave the way for this
for
to happen.
Everything that's happening now.
Exactly.
I mean,
of you go to Walmart, you go to Big Lots, you go to Home Goods, and you see sort of original looking art, but there's something a little off about it. It's printed on a canvas, and then maybe a couple of little brush strokes are added to make it look more authentic.
Right.
From afar, you might think that's a real oil painting. Or just get the prints, you guys. Come on, it's better. Oh my God.
Like, if you're going to do it, just fucking get the print,
girl.
Like, whatever.
And know what? It's not fooling anybody, babe. And then you also get a letter of authenticity and an etched nameplate, all including, like, with a frame and a mat and everything. Yeah. So he really understands what his audience is looking for. Is they want fine art, but without all the fuss of going to a weird gallery that they don't understand or they might not even have in their town. But they don't want to buy Walmart art. They want one step up.
They want to feel,
they want it to feel real. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Without fussing around with going to a gallery show with people that might not be there seeing.
There almost needed to be like a new sort of gallery created for these people to be able to access.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Am I on to something here?
Yes. Yeah, we will talk about Kincaid's hundreds of galleries across the country. But with that being said, we'll get into Kincaid's other artistic influence, Andy Warhol, because he was making art for the people. The Campbell's Soup, Marilyn Monroe, Elvis, mass-produced American nostalgia art for everyone. But This is the part where I get confused, because it's like, we love Rockwell and we love Warhol. Like, for the most part, there's a lot of people that hate that stuff. But at least they're recognized as artists in the art world.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, even Rockwell. And I have, like, weird Rockwell stuff.
I like Norman Rockwell stuff.
For sure. And he's talked about as, like, a fine artist. Mm-hmm. But art critics really like to take, like, a fat shit on Kincaid, even though these pieces do take a lot of skill. They're
No. I mean, it's not easy to do a painting like that.
No. You can't really argue with that. No. So why does the art world hate Kincaid so much? Well, let's get into it. Yeah. So the biggest difference of Kincaid and his influences is that he mass-produced his work, and he made his work and his galleries as accessible to the general public as humanly possible. And he also never said no to a major corporate collaboration like Disney, QVC, Lazy Boy, Hallmark, and dude, the list goes on with his collaboration. Harry Potter now. Craziness. So his philosophies about the gallery being this stark, white, echoey, uncomfortable chamber, I actually very much agree with.
Yeah, totally. It sucks.
This is where I get like, what? Like, what do I think? Do I know nothing? I don't know.
I don't agree with him, but I do.
So he did start opening his own galleries in the late 90s. And I totally remember going into one of these things in Laguna Beach when I was a kid. And it was warm and cozy, and it had an actual big fireplace and comfy chairs.
Brown leather, everything. Lazy Boy type chairs.
Exactly. And with his paintings and his other little knickknacks, like, lit in warm light.
Right.
So nothing like a typical art gallery. It feels like home or
it
what we
feels like
dream.
You're in a fucking cottage, yeah?
Exactly. Or what our idealized dream of what a cottage would look like.
Sure.
So, and he's also very vocal about his disdain. I love him being vocal about his disdain for the art world, which I actually found myself kind of appreciating, but also kind of like, this guy's fucking arrogant. He once said in a New York Times interview, "The number one quote critics give me is, 'Tom, your work is irrelevant.' Now, that's a fascinating, fascinating comment. Yes, irrelevant to the little subculture, this microculture of modern art, but my art is relevant because it's relevant to 10 million people. And that makes me the most relevant artist in this culture, not the least, because I'm relevant to real people." Okay. You didn't have to say it like that, but okay. But also, like, do I like him?
I, like, agree with that so hard, though.
Yeah. Do I like him? Like, doesn't he just want to make people happy? Or is he tricking us by tugging at our nostalgic heartstrings? But doesn't that mean that Rockwell was tricking us? Or Disney? Or even Warhol? Like,
Warhol was for sure tricking us. I mean, but, like, it was all part of the piece, right?
It's all the thing.
And that's kind of, like, the thing with Thomas Kincaid is, like, the difference maybe is, like, the difference between a credit card company versus, like, a small town bank that actually wants to help you. It's, like, Thomas Kincaid is big corporate.
Yeah.
Andy Warhol is commenting on America and the art.
Is it more satirical?
Right.
And is that why we like him more than Kincaid?
Right.
Or it's pretty and decorative, but can we argue that the Rococo was decorative?
Sure.
Fragonard and all that? And that shit's typically recognized as fine art. So do I want to print? Like, I'm confused and I take my money. Did he get me?
I mean, maybe because, well, it's so accessible.
Exactly.
That it's irresistible in a way because it's so easy to have. And and if it's easy to have, then it's also disposable. You don't have to, like, care about it so much.
Or it's like, if you get one, you're going to want another one. It needs a friend.
Or that.
And then another thing. And then, well, there is a matching jewelry box.
There was, like, that very big culture in the 90s and 2000s of, like, collectibles. Like, right?
Mm-hmm.
TY, like, collectibles. And I think he feeds into that culture, too, yeah?
Dude. Hardcore. We've got to get one. You can get another one. It's not that
special
much
edition.
Yeah.
Limited time only. You could be the one.
Well, let's get into the real juicy tea about the man himself. So, yes. Buckle the fuck up because this tea is boiling. So, I want to get back to the art being an escape thing, an escape from a difficult childhood, an escape from heavy criticism. Mm-hmm. And escaping is going to be a theme for Kincaid in his life. And he definitely tries very hard to portray a wholesome Christian image, but he's also very vocal. And our little pious patriotic artist has a dark side that I think he was trying to escape, and he definitely failed and seems to be quite a douchebag. Oh, no. So let's get into some money drama. So Kincaid made a lot of money from corporate collaborations, and I really have no fucking problem with that. Is people like it, so why not industrialize it, manufacture it to the masses, the American fucking dream, business. Right. What business. I really have a problem with is the fact that he made a shit ton of money from people selling his work. So his galleries were franchised, and fans of his work could actually open their own Kincaid galleries and sell his work for profit. It's a win-win, right? Ugh. Well, that got him into a lot of legal trouble. He would end up getting several lawsuits from these gallery owners, basically saying that his company didn't disclose important information that would dissuade them from involving themselves in the business altogether. So I won't get too much legal jargon, but basically, if you wanted to open a Kincaid gallery, you'd have to invest thousands of dollars into the company. And many of these galleries would not see much of a return on their investment as they were promised. And it's also said that he hid his agenda behind his faith. So a good Christian is going to trust another good Christian, right? So he would basically tell them a bunch of success story after success story after success story, but he's not letting them know that these galleries are becoming overly saturated. You can't have a gallery on every corner selling the same stuff,
right?
Which it started to be like that in the early 2000s. People aren't investing that much money.
No.
You'll buy a little art piece every once in a while. It's not Starbucks where you're going every day and buying something.
Right.
So business owners had to invest $50,000 to $100,000 in a company and didn't see a decent return in their investment. So much so that the FBI had to investigate issues and conduct interviews with several hundred shop owners across the country.
Oh my God.
Yeah, on top of some heavy stock fraud too, which he ended up dodging with some fancy ass lawyers. Ugh. So yeah, he did end up being able to settle a lot of these lawsuits, but he did lose some of these lawsuits too, and got had to pay millions of dollars back to some of these gallery owners.
Good.
Yeah, everyone's really uncomfortable at this time. So, like, money is going up and down for Kincaid, and these financial issues did put a strain on his life and his marriage.
Yes,
let's get into Thomas Kincaid's personal questionable conduct. So how this dude be acting. So I did want to be responsible and put a little disclaimer out here because things might get uncomfortable. Kincaid had substance abuse issues and battled an alcohol addiction for much of his life. He had some major rock bottom moments mixed with years of sobriety. So the dude is really struggling, just like a lot of our other artists that we talk about.
Yeah.
It just might hit closer to home because we're not talking about like the 1600s. We're talking about millennium times. Yeah. So I just wanted to put it out there that both Raquel and I are not making fun of addiction. It's actually a subject that both of us are unfortunately very familiar with.
Right.
However, I'm here to bring you the tea. And to be honest, I'd probably be drinking too if I got this much hate for my artwork. Okay, disclaimer over. So let's get into the debauchery. Bacchus.
Bacchus.
So one night in Vegas. One night in Vegas.
Oh, no.
While a drunk Kincaid was attending the Siegfried and Roy show, you know, the guys with the tigers.
Yeah.
He shouted out, codpiece, codpiece, in the middle of the show. And his wife and his mother had to calm him down.
Oh, no. Ooh.
One of his employees, another time, one of his employees says that Tom would be fine. He would be drinking, and then all of a sudden, you couldn't tell where the boundary was. And then he became very incoherent, and he would start cussing and doing a lot of weird stuff. Sounds like an alcoholic. Got it. Once he was at a bar with some staff, and he passed out at the bar and ended up falling on the ground, and a staff member tried to pick him up while he was flipping her off and telling her to fuck off.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad, but let's lighten it up with this little number. Okay. So this is one of my favorite. This is my favorite debauchery story. So Kincaid. Kincaid was at an event at Disneyland Hotel. He collaborated with Disney for years and still sells quaint little landscapes with Disney characters in them. They're horrible. They're so bad. Now, while he's drunk at the Disneyland Hotel, he decides to urinate on a statue of Winnie the Pooh and states, "This one's for you, Walt."
Oh my God.
Kind of badass. I kind of like that one.
Tommy, so, why'd you do it, dude?
Yes. Kincaid later admitted there may have been some ritual territory marking going on, but I don't recall it. Okay. I guess he did like to pee in places. Oh, I've been with one of those before.
Yeah, I was going to say that's like your ex-boyfriend.
Yep. Peer.
Okay, he was a peer.
Put that in the bathroom.
Just quit peeing on stuff. Go pee on the toilet. Go outside. Out,
man. Get a diaper. Can't. He was also at a signing party that went south where he would sign prints for his gallery owners to like try to appease them at this time because a lot of people are pissed.
Yeah.
And you can sell the signed prints for a lot more. So right. He'd have these big parties where he'd come and sign stacks of prints. So apparently he made quite a few women very uncomfortable.
No.
When he asked the men in more than that. So he asked the men in the room their preference between tits or ass.
Then so, my guy, do you like tits or ass more? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he basically was like trying to ask all the dudes, like, okay.
Exactly. What's it gonna be?
And then he then approached a woman, grabbed her boobs, and said, "These are great tits," like in front of everyone. Oh, and of course, she and everyone else was absolutely mortified. So, when confronted with the groping allegation, he stated, "You've got to remember, I'm an idol to these women. They sell my work every day. They're enamored with any attention I would give them. I don't know what kind of flirting they were trying to do with me. I don't recall what was going on that night."
Oh my God. So he's just recall. Like, I don't remember, so it didn't happen.
I don't
happen.
Remember. Yeah, exactly. Ugh. These girls, they're so flirtatious. I don't
they
remember.
They just want me. I mean, honestly, it was like a privilege to
I'm an
them.
Idol. So remember, he's a hardcore Christ. Christian.
And a narcissist, apparently. He sounds like my Capricorn ex-boyfriend.
Dude, yeah. They're a little saucy. So don't give him anything to drink. When questioned about his drunken conduct, he stated, "The book of Ecclesiastes says, enjoy yourself, have a glass of wine, for this is God's will for you." So
he's classic. Like, oh, yeah, it means I should get drunk and grab boobs.
Exactly. So God said it's fine. He was then arrested and sentenced to 10 days in jail for a DUI.
Fuck. Oh,
yes. He does have a mugshot.
Is it a good one?
Kincaid. Well, he just looks very drunk. Like, it's just like, ooh, very bloated.
He's just puffy.
He is wearing a pretty cool shirt, though. It's like a cool Hawaiian shirt or like very 90s.
I was gonna say, is it a
it's yeah, this Hawaiian damn. Shirt vibe. Yeah.
Damn, he's got a fucking soul patch, man.
Yes. very early 2000s. Bro. He's a bro-y 2000s guy.
Thin eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. And like almost spiky hair. Does he like kind of spike his hair?
Yeah, it does look spiky.
Yeah. So all this partying at bars and even strip clubs put a strain on Kincaid's marriage. Thomas and Nanette separated after 30 years of marriage in 2010. More money drama coming up, obviously, after that. So he started dating a woman named Amy Pinto Walsh and claimed he would marry her as soon as the divorce from Nanette was settled. Mm-hmm. Nanette was very distrustful of Amy. And there's some conflicting information about if the family actually liked or trusted her or not, or if this is all just like court stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say that she's like a gold digger or anything. I have no idea. It's hard to say.
Sure.
So remember Kincaid, regardless of his money struggles, he's still worth millions of dollars and like owns a huge mansion. Right. So Nanette is a little like, oh, the bitch loves my money. Nanette's worried that Amy's a gold digger and she's worried about them getting married and Kincaid changing his will. So in 2011, Kincaid did write a very badly, probably drunkenly written will, basically endowing Amy with a majority of his wealth and assets.
Oh, fuck.
And 1 year later, on April 6, 2012, Thomas Kincaid, at the age of 54, dies from complications related to a mixture of alcohol and Valium in his beautiful Monte Sereno home. And Kincaid's wealth and assets were divided up between his wife and his girlfriend, and his work in various tchotchkes are still produced and sold in his signature galleries and, of course, online. His website's really nice. Now his brother Patrick, who is heavily featured in this movie, is his new spokesperson, and of course, you know, says all these Christian-y things about him, about the painter of light, and he'll always be remembered as the painter of light, mostly because we can't ever really get away from him. His work is everywhere, but I don't mind.
And he fucking copyrighted it, so
he trademarked it to the painter of light. Guy at the party.
Oh my God, who is he?
Well, dude, he's pretty much the party, but who can we compare Thomas Kincaid to? And this one's very fucking obvious.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Mel Gibson. Obviously. Drunken, Christian, self-righteous asshole. That's also undeniably pretty fucking talented.
Yeah.
I love Braveheart, dude.
I love What Women Want.
What Women Want.
I haven't watched it in a long time. And I don't know how it aged, but I used to love that. Yeah. Where he puts on the pantyhose and he's like waxing himself. He's got a bra on. I'm like, this movie
yeah,
is great.
It's probably now when we watch it, it's like, oh, we have different sensibilities now. But good nonetheless. Like, he's funny. And God, when he was really on his spiraling, when he's like,
oh my God,
telling cops
didn't
stuff.
He do Passion of the Christ?
He started
anti-Semitic shit, and he's just like a total dick.
He was saying some anti-Semitic things while in like a drunken arrest.
Ugh.
I think he was saying stuff about one of the cops or something while a female cop while he was getting arrested.
Yeah.
Like just some really shady stuff. And but then also playing as I'm the Christian actor.
Right.
I don't believe any of that stuff. I serve only other Christians and right-winged people. I'm not like those other guys in Hollywood.
Right.
I'm a good Christian. I'm not like a gross liberal.
It's like, okay, is that what you tell yourself to sleep at night? Well, man, Thomas Kincaid.
Yeah,
I actually didn't
bring up any of his. I guess this was his own. Here, and I'll read the box. Because he always has like a little message about every painting, too.
Wow.
And I think that does kind of like it placates his fans even more, because it's like, and he explains it to me too. Like, look, not like other artists that don't fucking explain it to me. Christmas is my favorite time of year. The artist side of me is drawn to the lights and visual elements of the season. In Village Christmas, I have tried to capture a Christmas of a simpler time. where street lamps glow with warm light of a natural flame, and the townsfolk use a leisurely stroll to church as the opportunity to stop and chat about the joyous season. So, little message about his painting here on the box that, like,
started out the episode of being like, yeah, kind of Andy Warhol, you know, I'm okay. Like, I don't mind art as a commodity. I think it's kind of funny. And yeah, I get why people hate him. But now I'm on the other side where I'm like, no, I definitely fucking hate him, I think. Where'd you end up?
I think I don't like his shady business practices where he's taking advantage of people. Right. That's the one where I'm just like, you make your money, dude, but don't bring other people into this on false promises, especially hiding behind your religion is super manipulative.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
And people really do describe him as like a ruthless businessman rather than like probably a more sensitive artist that we're used to.
Right.
Which I kind of thought of it as like a pyramid scheme. Like you're making more money. Sounds. Yeah, off of the people that buy into your franchise more than what they're actually selling in the gallery.
Or like CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. That's what it sounds like to me. Like this like big bravado of like, you know, you have to have this and somehow your life will be better for having it. Like it's almost like he mirrors his business model off of that type of business model of like, how do I convince this mass amount of people to buy into the shit that I have?
Exactly.
And he totally does by selling them icons, like icons, right? Like in the Middle Ages when they used to sell like relics and shit. It's like,
and say, this will make you better.
Yeah, this will make you better.
Yeah. Which,
I mean, art does have a way of making, of being that, right? Like, people think they're better for having it. Mm-hmm. Somehow higher class, which is bullshit. But he plays into that, right?
Yeah. Because you don't just get a print. You get a frame. You get a letter. A
letter of authenticity.
You get a little plaque on the frame that looks nice.
That little placard like they have in the Louvre at the bottom.
Yes. On the little frame. And he just really knew how to sell. Like, he really knew what they wanted. And they wanted just a no-fuss situation where I don't have to go and buy a print from some artist at a fair, go get it framed. I don't know how to do all that. And that sounds expensive. Mm-hmm. And I don't know really what I want in my house because I don't actually have taste. And I'm not willing to explore it. But that's also okay, though, you know, of like, you don't have to have taste. I remember I got into this conversation with my partner, my husband, Alex, and I was kind of saying, because I just noticed, I don't know how I just noticed this, but everything that's up on the walls is like mine or things that I've collected.
Yeah.
And he has like one weird little holographic painting of like a wolf that his brother gave him, and that's it. And it's cool. It's just something that like probably a teenage boy would have. I have it up in a prominent spot in the house because he likes it, and everything else is mine. So I'm like, here's your little area. And then I asked him, I'm like, if I wasn't around, if I was a one night stand coming in into this space as your own apartment, what would it look? What would I see?
Right.
And he's like, nothing on the walls. And I'm like, no, you can't have nothing on the walls. He's like, it doesn't interest me to have anything on the walls. Nothing on the wall. Nothing. Not even like something nice that you could find at Walmart. That like some flowers or something. Anything. Space. I don't know. A wolf. Do you like wolves? And he's just like, no, I don't really have like a taste for that stuff.
My brother got this for me. I don't like it.
Yeah. Like, he's like, I would have an IKEA bed and a couch and a desk for my computer. And that's probably, and maybe a rug. I would buy a rug, but it'd be one plain color. I'm like, what? No. I'll go, what's the rug look like? One plain color. Oh. Okay.
So were you like, are you a serial killer? Do you like my art, or is it just like,
no,
you
tolerate he's like, it? I totally was like, would you rather have this all blank? He's like, no, I have no preference of okay, you really just don't have taste. And you don't care to have it either. You're not pretending. He just doesn't care about that stuff.
And I think that's great. I love that for him. I love that.
I would feel weird, though, if I was your... Don't you want to impress a girl coming over or something?
I mean...
And he's just like, I wouldn't even know where to start.
There's all kinds of people in this world, but I feel like I'm going to go ask my husband the same question, and he's going to be like, yeah, I don't care. Because he didn't own any art before that. Yeah. And I think, you know, so... I don't remember the artist's name, but when my family took a trip to Hawaii, we went into a gallery that I'm fucking 1,000,000% positive mirrors a Kincaid gallery.
Yes.
In Hawaii. And my mom, like,
Was it Wyland?
It wasn't Wyland. He's from Laguna. But
he's got galleries though in Hawaii.
Yes, but it was a similar style,
kind of that vibe,
because it was an ocean scene with a very illuminescent moon. And I remember the lady sitting us down in a little room, slowly dimming the lights, telling us all about the painting. Notice the moon as it illuminates as the sun is setting, and it was so relaxing. And I mean, really buys you into the work. And my mom, my parents bought the painting.
Wow.
And got a placard and a letter of authenticity. So, like, I've lived in this moment where, like, but my mom, I feel like, does have taste. It's just, it's not in a high art, like, comes from this, like, art education standpoint.
Yeah.
It's just, like, you know, like, a consumer standpoint. And she, like, I mean, she curates a beautiful home.
Yeah.
It's not kitsch. It's not anything like that. But she really got bought into this, just like somebody purchasing a fucking car.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's that same sort of pitch. It's a sales pitch.
Exactly.
And this fucking genius does that with the art and makes it at the right price, that it's a little bit more than you would normally spend. It's like, maybe you shouldn't, but you fucking do.
Because it's worth it. Yeah. Because they make you think,
yeah, they dress it up in all kinds of fucking tinsel. Fucking wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why this is one of my more conflicting ones. Cause I'm like, is he just a businessman? Why are we mad at that? But also, does he belong in the art world? Why not? It's art. It's you can't say it's not art. It's a landscape painted really nicely, but does it have integrity? Is that what you're looking for?
Like, yeah,
I mean,
like, I guess I'm just like, when I think about and the thing that, like, makes me mad, like, in today, if I can relate it to today, is like making friends with people that look like they subscribe to a counterculture. Like, they have tattoos, they've got, you know,
the aesthetic.
They've got the aesthetic down, or they look like alternative in some sort of way. Like, they've, you know, I could relate to them. And then you find out they're like Trumpers and full alt-right people. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing here? Get out of my situation.
Stop.
You do not belong here. Like, go back to your side. Yeah, exactly. Go back to your side of things.
Yeah.
And go be hateful and racist over there. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. And how dare you try? And that's, I think, where it comes with Thomas Kincaid is, like, you're just a big corporate name and you just infiltrated your way into here. Get out.
All right.
Good one.
Well, yes. Well, we've got a bunch of fun little memes on Instagram. So join us on Instagram.
Baroque.b.podcast.
Check out our website, brokebeatpodcast.com. You can join our newsletter. We have a monthly newsletter if you want to hear what's in store for the month.
Yeah, if you want to know who's coming up the next four episodes ahead, you can know with the newsletter. And it's fun newsletter, too.
Yeah, you get a couple little facts in there. And so sign up on our newsletter. All the links are in our bio on our Instagram and also on our website. You can join our Patreon. We're getting some new stuff on Patreon as well. We got some bonus episodes coming up.
And we got bonus episodes.
Yes. We got merch. We got stickers. We got
We're not Thomas Kincaid. Oh, my God.
Seriously. Am I oozing Kincaid energy right now? Money. Buy something.
No.
This will make your life better.
This will make it. We'll send you a letter of authenticity for the month of March.
Just kidding. Well, now that all that's out of the way.
Listen,
we love you. Bye.